Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Rechte Neckfahne mit dem linken Fuß. Bringt den Ball auf den zweiten Pfosten. Tesche! Tor! 1:0 für den VfL Bochum.
Da draußen ist der Ball frei. Und jetzt ist er drin. Jetzt ist er drin. Und hier ist Botzen, macht das Tor.
Und er ist drin. Buchmann, Buchmann, Buchmann macht das zweite Tor. Da ist das Tor. Der zählt das 2:2. Dresden ist wieder da. Röser ist da.
Für Rausch, der setzt an zur Flanke, da kommt der Ball, Tor, 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 Tor,
We welcome you to another episode of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast, your home and source for all things Zweite Bundesliga. I'm Matthew Karagic and it's a pleasure to have your company once again, and we have plenty to get through. From match day 31, another gigantic weekend of football with movers and shakers from the top and the bottom of the standings. We'll also look ahead to all the action on match day 32. Only 3 more match days until the end, and there is still plenty to play for. Plus, we have our topic questions, which we will discuss towards the end. Joining me today on this week's podcast is the one and only Eva. Eva, how are you doing today?
A bit tired, but good, thank you.
That is good to hear. And we're going to go straight into the action from match day 31. Starting in Köpenick, Union Berlin hosted Hamburger SV, and it was the hosts who broke their 5-game winless run. 2-0 for them, Robert Juhl scoring immediately after the break, and Grisha Prömel with a goal of the season contender. The win sees Union move up to third place in the standings, while the defeat and the 6th game without a win for Hamburg sees them drop to fourth. So I guess it's a massive win for Union to break the loss, but all the talk is really all about Hamburg.
Yeah, especially I think we would come to that after Köln did sack Anfang. A lot of people thought that Wolf would be next. And think the needed calmness is not in the team at the moment, with Holtby didn't want to travel to Berlin, isn't playing anymore until the rest of the season, because his contract is not getting extended. That was like his last game in. Yeah, and the game itself was really poor from the beginning on. It wasn't the level of or what people would expect. In the end, and you had the feeling HSV just doesn't want to get promoted at all. And then it was just 2-0 against the better Union side.
Yeah, the first goal was an absolute gift by Gideon Jung, who was dispossessed by Suleiman Abdullahi. And obviously the second goal was, as was spoken, an absolute peach. But yeah, it really became a game of desire and want to win the contest. And Union showed it. They were very good tactically, I thought, in the first half. The game fell into their hands. As much as Hamburg had a couple of chances midway through the first half, I think Union had the better of the play. They were able to transition quite well from defence to attack, and they were well worth the win, and a crucial win for them in particular. But yeah, for Hamburg, it makes you question everything that's happened over the past few months, whether Hannes Wolf was the right guy to bring in, was it the knee-jerk reaction to sack Christian Tietz? I know there'd be a few people who would say yes. I would almost agree with that. They've certainly gotten, like, defensively they've improved, but they've gotten a lot worse in the way they play. And what seemed unfathomable seems almost to reality. They may miss out. We might be seeing them for another season in the league. A team who clearly isn't interested in staying in this league for much longer is Paderborn. They came away 3-1 winners against Heidenheim. Christopher Atwiyajay continues his excellent Rook Runde. He scored another brace. Kai Pruger, who's been an excellent signing from Rot-Weiss Essen, he got on the score sheet, and Robert Andrick with a consolation goal. More importantly, Paderborn move into second place. They were one of the big winners on match day 31. Now they're 5 points behind Köln. And Eva, a fantastic performance again by Paderborn. And this dream, which seemed super unlikely, is almost becoming a reality.
Yeah, and I really have to say that I think at the moment they're one of the teams that would deserve it the most, because throughout the season they are more or less really going forward the whole time. They pretty much improved offensively, so something that happened first half of the season that they would score four goals but concede four goals at the same time, they stopped that more or less completely. And I think it was a question of character here as well. I think Padamon seemed to be the grittier team. They were offensively, they were more present than Heidenheim. And yeah, then we talked about so many times when Paderborn starts to score, it's really hard for the opponents to get one back and to manage to win it.
Yeah, and they've shown that throughout the season. I do agree with you, they've improved plentiful in defence. They, you know, they were all about playing in shootouts, it seemed. They would, you know, couple of 4-4 draws early on, but they've worked on it. They've certainly, no matter who's playing in the back four, they've been able to be a lot more stable. Credit to Stefan Baumgart for getting that fixed. It was a problem area, and they're just so dynamic going forward, and teams had plenty of issues coping with that. But for Heidenheim, it was the promotion push was slim, and as it was, it's probably over now. But the big loss, Mark Schnatterer was out injured. He was replaced by Maurice Maltoup midway through that first half. They had another player go down injured, and it kind of summed up the day for Heidenheim. It just wasn't their afternoon, and it probably means the remaining three games for them, they might just want to finish the season with style, but not particularly ideal situation for them. The last of our Group 1 games was at St. Pauli. They hosted Jahn Regensburg, and this was a tour fest. It was exactly what the pundits wanted. If you wanted goals, this was for you. It was St. Pauli who took the win 4-3, which makes Elliot the only one who predicted this last week. We both picked Jan, but that's okay. We're allowed to be wrong from time to time. St. Pauli had four different goal scorers: Dimitrios Diamantakos, Ioannis Flum, Marvin Knoll, and Ria Miyuchi. Hamid Al-Gadoui and Sagas Adamyan scoring for Jan. First win for Jos Luhukay, but let's be honest, there was not a lot of good defending in this one either. But crucially for St. Pauli and Jos Luhukay, a win on the board and just eases the pressure just a bit.
Yeah, definitely. I think you could see that they really wanted to change how they played in the first half, the past two games, and it wasn't a completely improvement, but it was an improvement which was deeply needed, definitely. And I think with starting Meladeli and Diamantakos besides Knoll was a really good idea by Luhukay. I had the feeling they worked really well together, and yeah, then Diamantakos with a beautiful goal, I thought. And yeah, but as you said, still very poor defending by St. Pauli when Al-Gadoui leveled. This is it's a huge win for St. Pauli just to give their fans something back. But I think they can be lucky that the game was finished after that, after Jan got one back, because yeah, let it continue for two more minutes and maybe Jan can level it in the final minute.
Yeah, it wasn't a defensive masterclass by either side, but one for the neutrals who enjoy the goal-scoring flourish, which is what they saw. We'll take a quick break. We'll go to our Group 2 games in just a moment. We'll start in Köln when they hosted Darmstadt.
Wenn der FC hier das Ding noch gewinnt, aber jetzt Platte, Platte! Und Darmstadt 98 führt mit 2-1.
Yes, and we start our Group 2 fixtures in Köln. They hosted Darmstadt, and it was not an ideal result for the league leaders. 2-1 defeat to Darmstadt. John Cordoba was the one and only goal scorer for Köln. Serdar Dursan opened the scoring in this game. And then a horrible mistake from the Köln defence and Timo Horn led to Felix Platter's game-winning goal. It's Darmstadt's first ever win against Köln in history. And it saw the end of Marcus Anfang's tenure. Despite being atop of the table, despite basically being a game or two away from sealing promotion, he is gone. They've made the change. A surprise, maybe, to some, but there's been talk around the club that there's been some rumblings, Marcus Anfang and Armin Fein not getting along. The on-field disaster is one thing, but it seems that the problems certainly lie a lot deeper.
Yeah, I think we talked about that off-camera already a bit last week as well. Anfang didn't really accomplish with Köln what was expected after that Kiel season last year. I think many people thought with having more money on his hands, with having better individual players, that this would be a very easygoing season for them, but it wasn't. And I think many people in Köln would have expected them to actually sack him earlier because, they're top of the table, but not really with that you could say, okay, that is easygoing. That's like in Bundesliga, you have two clubs on top and they're basically winning the league. It's not that way with Köln, and I think then maybe it's a bit too late. It should have been earlier, especially because now they have a coach that is actually deeply needed in their youth department, because I think the U21 or so are struggling with getting relegated, and then I think it's not really helping the club to say, okay, now we take the coach from your team, we don't really care if you stay in the league or don't. And yeah, I think that's not really supporting that whole club atmosphere at the moment.
Yeah, it does send a bit of the wrong message, and you know, there's obviously been rumblings of who will take over at the end of the season. I know that David Wagner's name has been thrown around by multiple clubs, yeah, Schalke included. It is going to be interesting to see who takes the job. They've obviously got a very talented squad, but if it's a matter of when they go up, how they survive in the Bundesliga will be interesting. For Darmstadt, fantastic result for them. Basically safe. Gramotzes has done a great job with them. Dursun has been a viable goal-scoring option for them going forward. It's just a fantastic result for them and great for them to break their hoodoo. Not such the case for Armenia, who couldn't break their Duisburg hoodoo. They shared the spoils on the Monday night fixture. Armenia led twice in this game through Andreas Vogelsammer. Stanislav Ilyachenko equalised midway through the first half, and then it fell apart for Armenia after the 2-1. Berend was sent off, and then from the preceding free kick, Kevin Volzer doing what he does best, which is score free kicks. He scored to level the scores. once again, Duisburg were able to secure points from coming from behind, but it's probably not going to be enough for them to stay up. But again, if you look at the first half, as Eva, you're going to, I'm sure, mention, Armenia could have put this game away, but they failed to do so.
Yeah, and that's something we talked about the last three games, and that is something that really pisses me off, you could say, because every week the players, Neuhaus says, okay, we have to use the chances of that we get in the first half. It doesn't matter who you're playing. If you don't use their chances, there's always the possibility that the other team will come back. And yet again, I have to say, I like the thought of getting Lukoki and Seifert back in the lineup, because Hardheads was really poor in the last two games, I thought, and Yabo as well. He's not completely back. I think when we come to the summer break, he has the full time to recover and get back on his tracks. But yeah, in the end, we can be lucky that we didn't lose with one man down. That seems to be typical Armenia. Try not to get the other team to score, then foul them, then get a red card in front of the penalty area, and then think, okay, it's just a free kick. We don't have to worry about that. And yeah, it's really poor, concerning I have the feeling that the mentality isn't really up top at the moment, and that's the completely wrong time for it because we're playing Paderborn next.
Yeah, and that is a game we will be talking about later. It's certainly a must-win affair, obviously, for Armenia, but of course Paderborn will be seeing that as the same for sure. The last of our Group 2 games brings us to Ingolstadt, that hosted Dynamo Dresden, and it was the hosts that secured a 1-0 victory. Goal through Sonny Kittel. It's their first win since match day at home since match day 22 versus Borkum. They remained a point behind Magdeburg, which we'll go to in a moment. Massive win for Ingolstadt, and the Thomas Oral revolution is very much in swing. 4 games, 10 points out of a possible 12. There's a chance that they may still get out of this.
Yeah, and I think that was really surprising. I think Alex said it plenty of times. He was quite sure that they would definitely go down now. And now it's kind of the renaissance of Ingolstadt at the moment. I think Thomas Oral found a way to give them something back, to believe in themselves again. And I think it was a really open game, but Dresden was poor offensively, so Ingolstadt didn't just score at the right moment. They were the better team, and that is, for them, that is huge going forward in, or going to the rest of the season, into the last 3 games.
And I guess the biggest concern you'd have with Dresden is that despite that fantastic win the week before over Köln, they're still not really out of it yet. I mean, you look at Sandhausen picking up points, which we'll talk about in a moment. Same with Aue, Magdeburg picking up points. It's not ideal to lose to a team that's below you on the road, a fixture that you have a particularly good record in. So it's not ideal, but you never say never. They have 3 winnable fixtures coming up, so you'd suggest they've got a good chance of getting or avoiding any potential drop, but still, they must be wary of the danger that lies ahead. We'll take a quick break. Our Group 3 games are in the offing. We'll start with Sandhausen and Holstein Kiel. And we're back with Sandhausen and Holstein Kiel. And this game was a goal fest like many in our Group 3 offerings from match day 31. It was Sandhausen 3, Holstein Kiel 2, Philip Forster, Andrew Wooten, and Alexander Zvirov on the goals scorer sheet. Masaya Okugawa once again proving to be the goal scoring threat. He scored a brace. He's been in really good form for Holstein Kiel, and with the recent lack of output, he's been a very good find for them. Of course, he's on loan from RB Salzburg. While Sandhausen, they continue their excellent Rückrunde form, and being safe and avoiding the relegation drop is very much within their reach. And it's so strange to see that Sandhausen have just picked up points like it's nothing, and they're close. They are really close to safety.
Yeah, and I think that, again, something nobody would expect it before. Yeah, those past weeks, I think it all started with a win against St. Pauli. And here they proved that they, although Kiel took the lead with their first chance, they found a way back more or less out of nowhere, but they did find it back. Kiel was always really eager to score, but in the end, Sandhausen was more or less stable in the defense, and Kiel maybe a bit too eager to score the leveling goal, and then Sandhausen is in their right mind at the moment, and it's really important when seeing that clubs like Ingolstadt are picking up points. It's really huge for them that they win as well, and if they do not stop it now, then they can stay in the league.
Yeah, and you look at their form during the Rückrunde, they are the third best team this season. During the Rückrunde, 6 wins, 4 draws, 4 losses, and only FC and Paderborn, who are first and second in the standings, have a better record. It's almost a shame that their poor start under Kenan Korkaç has put them in this situation, because Uwe Koschner of recent has got them playing excellent football. A team that needed a much needed victory was Magdeburg, and they did just that. 2-1 winners over Greuther Fürth. They trailed in this game. Daniel Steininger with the opening goal, and then Gift Central, Greuther Fürth, gift wrapping those two goals for Christian Beck and Felix Lohkemper. We said this when they played Bochum, and they gift wrapped the victory to Bochum, and they did that again on the weekend. Two very avoidable mistakes leading to even Magdeburg, despite how ordinary they've been in front of goal, even they couldn't miss these chances, and they didn't.
Yeah, and you shouldn't do that. Like, you could call this game the game of mistakes, because Magdeburg met plenty of them as well in the second half. But that is something you would expect after the Rückrunde starts again, or at the beginning of the season when the team doesn't seem to really play together for a long time, but not at the end of the season. Like, those mistakes were really, really bad and shouldn't happen to you in such a close distance from games. Then Magdeburg just took away that moment and took those chances and those mistakes and got all 3 points.
Yeah, it was who was not going to make a mistake in this one. Magdeburg made less, I guess you would say. Took advantage of the errors in defence by Greuther Fürth and took a much needed victory. They remain a point ahead of Ingolstadt heading into match day 32, but very much still at large. Relegation is very much a possibility. The last of our match day 31 games was in Aue. They hosted Bochum. 5-goal thriller this one, and some interesting moments towards the end of the game. Philip Zulekner, Pascal Testrot got goal scoring going for Aue, then Lucas Hinterzier and Silvery Gamvula levelling the scoring, and then Tim Hoogland with a horrible mistake. An unnecessary challenge inside the area penalised, and Dmitry Nazarov giving Aue a crucial 3 points as they look to avoid the relegation scrap. It's hard to say what on earth he was thinking. You can take the player away from Schalke, but you can't take the Schalke away from him. It seems that seemed like a Schalke kind of mistake, but I guess it's now a Bochum kind of mistake by Tim Hoogland. And it was a good game overall, plenty of goals, but yeah, that the game will always be remembered for that mistake.
Yeah, and that's really pity, because Bochum seemed to be the team that was more likely to score the winning goal in the end, I'd say. I think it was huge of them to find their way back after it seems that that game was lost after 38 minutes or so. And then to lose in the last minute, more or less, by such a stupid defending mistake, which led to the penalty, as you said. Yeah, it's really Bochum this season, you could say. This is a really Bochum-like game in the end, and it's a shame for them. As you said, it's a huge win for Aue. If they wouldn't have won it, they would be really, really deep into that whole relegation scrap. But big points for them, and for Bochum, this season is more or less over with all of those teams from, I think, I'd say 7th to 13th, more or less. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's become a great shame for them, because they had that really good start to the season. They've had a terrible Rückrunde. I think they've got the second or third worst record amongst teams. I think Duisburg and Dresden have got worse records than them during the second half of the season, and you just feel a bit empty for them, because they've got a decent squad, but you know, I guess perhaps we do ask a little bit too much of them being a bit better than what they are, considering the signs they showed towards the end of last season and of course the start of this season. That's our wrap up of match day 31. We'll take a quick break, and match day 32 is just around the corner. We're going to start with the derby, Arminia Bielefeld and Paderborn. We welcome you to our Matchday 32 preview, and we're going to start with a neighbouring clash between two sides, as I've been corrected by the Armenia faithful. It is, in fact, neighbours, not derbies, so sorry, Paderborn fans, but that's how they want to see it. It is Arminia Bielefeld versus Paderborn, the 26th meeting between the two sides when they played earlier this season. A 2-2 draw took place. In fact, in those 25 meetings, Armenia have won 16 times, but three of the last five games have ended all square. Either, of course, massive game. We have a few members of the podcast will be at this encounter. Are you hopeful of a result, or do you expect Paderborn to show their class and overrun?
Yeah, I want to be careful here because I think the last four times I predicted a Paderborn win, they won. So I don't really want to jinx it, but how Armenia played in the past two games, I'm not really hopeful. The most we can get out of it is a draw, and that's it. That's basically everything you can hope for. It's the thing they do defensively with like really short passes to Ortega and Beck. They're really dangerous, and you can do that against maybe Duisburg and Ingolstadt, but you shouldn't do that against Paderborn because they will use every mistake you do. And if they do at that, we're 6-0 down at halftime. So, you see, I'm really hopeful, although Elliot might accompany me as the lucky charm because obviously the last time he was in Bielefeld, we won 3-1 against Bochum, but I'm not really hopeful, so I don't want to jinx it. I say it's going to be a draw.
So what's really happened in the past couple of minutes is Eva has predicted a Paderborn win in the hope of jinxing Paderborn to an Armenia victory. That's the only conceivable way, but I do think Paderborn is going to win. Team in hot form. They are best, as we've suggested probably the last couple of weeks, they are in the best position to go up and take that second automatic promotion spot. It is going to be tough for Armenia. Obviously, Berdens is out. I'm going to assume Amos Pieper is going to play. I hope I pronounced his name right. But he's coming in, I'm assuming. He's played a couple of times. Neuhaus seems to like him. One for the future, and I expect him to get the game underway. Our second Group 1 game is in Darmstadt. They host Union Berlin. Massive game for Union Berlin. They won this fixture last time, 3-1. They've only met 6 times, but it's not a fixture that has been too kind to them. They've only won once. Darmstadt twice, winners, and a draw twice as well. History is not with Union, especially when they've made the trip to Darmstadt.
Yeah, they never won in Darmstadt before. Really cool is actually that this game has an average of 4 goals, if I check that correctly, which is huge. Really tough one, I think. But I'm going to go with Union here because Darmstadt season is done. And Union has pretty much chances to get promoted still. And it can be a huge win for them if they win. And I think they're just a bit more motivated. And that's something that could change that game.
It's interesting. Obviously, Union's away form has been ordinary, to say the very least. Their home form has been fantastic, as we've spoken at nauseam throughout the season. This game could go in either way. Darmstadt are showing quite a lot of vigour and courage under Gramotzis. There's been a bit of a renaissance under him. They are mathematically safe from relegation, and that's really been thanks to his guidance and game plan, and they might be a team to watch out for next season. But I can't help but feel this game's going to end all square. You know, I think the key is if Union can score early, then they can really have the game on their terms, in sense of, you know, can be a lot more defensive and really make it difficult for Darmstadt to break down. If they can do that, then that would go a long way into them getting a result. But I can't separate the two sides at the moment. Two sides who are in contrasting forms are Hamburg and Ingolstadt. Hamburg, of course, winless in their last six. Ingolstadt are unbeaten in their previous form. And if you were to put those two stat lines together and had to pick which was which, and to a novice, you would be very hard-pressed to pick anyone who would have thought that Ingolstadt were unbeaten in their last four. But Thomas Oral's done a great job. He has done that. And this is a massive fixture for both sides. Hamburg now are on the outside looking in, and Ingolstadt are looking to get out of the relegation zone. This game is a tough one to call. Ingolstadt have never won in Hamburg. But with the form that Hamburg are in and how they've given up points at home this season, they are a real chance of getting a result here.
Yeah, definitely. Really surprising, I guess, especially that seeing that past month. It's, as you said, it's really hard to pick a winner here. I think although Ingolstadt is assumingly in the better form and better state of mind at the moment, I do not want to pick a winner here, although both sides would need a win, like, crucially, but I'd go with a draw here.
Yeah, I can see this going two ways. 1-1, in which Hamburg have to come from behind. Actually, no, that's three ways. One of the other ways is that Hamburg score late and win 1-0. Or Hamburg score really early and then cough up the lead and lose late. That seems to be the only mode of dismissal for Hamburg at home, with the outlier, of course, being Jan pumping them 5-0 at home. So it could go either one of those three ways, but I'm thinking 1-1 draw is probably the most likely, which Ingolstadt will take, essentially, as long as Magdeburg don't win their game, which we'll get onto moments later. It should be a good game, pivotal for both sides. So we'll hope that, you know, we can get a result here. We'll take a quick break. We'll go to Group 2 in just a moment. We'll start in Fürth when they host Köln. Yes, and we start the Group 2 games in Fürth. They host FC Köln. This is the 18th meeting between the two sides, to which Köln have been victorious in 8. Andrej Pavlak is the new manager in charge for Köln. He'll take the ship alongside Manny Schmidt for the last 3 games. Of course, the goal is simple promotion, and that is on the mind. This could be a tricky fixture, though. Greuther Fürth, relatively difficult to break down at home. They gave Union Berlin plenty of trouble. They kept Hamburg scoreless. Either this is not a particularly easy game for the new manager to come into, but they know what they need, and that's to win. And if they do so, they will have one foot in the door in promotion.
Yeah, I think it's also crucial for them to win, not even speaking table wise, but more speaking mind wise. So just to see, okay, we can still win. We can do what everyone expects us to do. And history might suggest that it is on their side, because I think the last time Fürth won at home against Köln was back in 2004. So those are plenty of years passing by without a Fürth win. It's going to be a tough game, as you said before. Fürth has ways to trouble their opponents, especially if they're from the top of the table. But I might go with Köln here anyway and say it might be a really, really close win for them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Köln as well. not with a relative amount of confidence. You know, new manager sparks the troops. They, you know, hopefully they get a response with the shake-up. Interesting to see how they line up. He suggested that he's not going to change too much fundamentally in terms of tactics. He might keep the foundations the same. But it'll be interesting to see what personnel he goes with, especially up top, whether he goes Tirota, Cordoba, Cordoba, Modest, or Modest, Tirota. It will be very interesting to see what kind of decision he goes with. I think they win, but and break the winless run that they're on. Just to give the Kern fans a little bit of ease and grace as they've needed after this rough run of form. Our second Group 2 game is in Dresden. They host St. Pauli. This will be the 16th meeting between the two sides. When they met at the Milan Tour, the honours were shared at one goal apiece. This game could be very, very interesting, but Dresden have... It's been a while since they've won. 2016 was the last time they were to win at home against St. Pauli. So history is not in favour, but they've got plenty to play for in terms of avoiding being dragged into the relegation scrap. A win should be enough.
Yeah, I think so too. Going to, as you said, really tough game. St. Pauli might want to continue more or less, they say that. What they did against Regensburg, but much more concentrating on their defending, because that was still very poor, as we talked about. If they can stop that, they can take a win home, maybe. But although this is really boring, but I'd say a goal with a draw.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm actually going to pick Dresden to win this game with the knowledge that they need to pick up points. St. Pauli have showed an element of vulnerability defensively. They're very slow starting side, and they've shown that under Jos Luhukay. I think it's possible, but they've got to be efficient and effective going forward. Dresden have shown they can do that, which they did against Köln. But then they can show the other side of it, where they can have a ton of chances, but they're all either half chances or don't offer enough. So it'll be interesting to see how they go with that. But I think they'll win, but it'll be tight, like a 1-0 or a 2-0 kind of result. But a pivotal win if they're able to get that. The last of our games from Group 2 is in Kiel. They host Duisburg. The last time the two sides met, it was a 4-0 win for Kiel, and this is the 11th meeting between the two sides. And this is a team that Kiel really, really enjoys playing. 6 wins out of their previous 10. They've won 4 of the last 5. And in 3 of those games, they've kept clean sheets. And in those same 3 games, they were able to score 3 or more goals, which included the 4-0 and a 5-0 result last season. History says Kiel to win. Duisburg picking up 1 point at a time, but this could be the one that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah, but I think a really tough one. I think Kiel is going to look out that they do not win the second time in a row with a team from the bottom, which they did against Sandhausen. And yeah, as you said, 13 goals in the last 3 times they met. That's a lot of goals, especially going to Kiel. Duisburg didn't win a game since May 2015 against Kiel, and all in all, Duisburg was still very poor against Armenia, I'd say. They had chances to win when they were one man up, but they didn't use them, and I think that is something that is really crucial for you. If you have the chance, then you should win, and that's why I'm going with Kiel here.
Yeah, it's really hard to go past Kiel. I mean, there's been talk with Duisburg that it may be a battle too far. 5 points behind Ingolstadt, 6 points behind Magdeburg in 16th. It feels like it's been a lost cause for some time, but they keep holding on barely. It's almost a shame for them. They finished 7th last season, and they're going back to essentially... We're waiting for them to effectively go down, which we're sure they will. One group of games remain. That's Group 3. We will get onto that in just a moment. We'll start with Bochum when they host Magdeburg. Yes, and our Group 3 games begin in Bochum. They host Magdeburg. This is only the second meeting between the two sides, and when they met in Magdeburg, it ended as a scoreless draw. So one will be hoping that the ball hits the back of the net this time around. Of course, the equation is simple for Magdeburg. Continuation of picking up points and ensuring that Ingolstadt don't impede on the gap. Whereas Bochum, they won't go down, nor will they go up. But they really have little to play for. So it'll be interesting to see what strategy Robin Dutt implies. So I guess, Eva, this is a massive game, of course, for Magdeburg. Really good opportunity for them to compound the advantage that they have over Ingolstadt, which is, of course, one. How do you see this one playing out?
Really, really difficult. I think it's not going to be a really pretty game to watch. I think Bochum wants to please their fans, but on the same time, Magdeburg, as you said, is the one that it can be the loser of this game. Like, really lose their distance to Ingolstadt, etc. And yeah, that's why they deeply need a win. And I might go with a Magdeburg win, but it can also be that in the last meters they might lose it a bit, and then Bochum can get a point of it out of it as well.
It'll be interesting to see which Bochum side turns up. Of course, they were a lot better in the second half of that game against Erzgebirge Aue. It'll be interesting. I'm sure in front of the home fans they'll want to put on a display. A response in the game, of course, they could have won last time out, but they didn't. Yeah, I agree with you. It won't be a spectacle. Won't be one. Maybe one for the purest of football fans who are happy to see some interesting football, shall we call it. But I think this game will end up in a draw. But hopefully for both sets of fans, we will see goals. I pray that we see some goals in this game, just for your sakes. The second of our Group 3 games is in Regensburg. They take on Aue. When the two sides met last time out, it was a 1-1 draw. This is the 12th meeting between the two sides, and a fixture which Aue have great command over. In the previous 11 meetings, they've won 6, and 3 of the last 5 games have been won by Aue. Jan's last win came in 2010, and that came at the Continental Arena. So it's been a long time between drinks for the Jan fans. Will they be able to celebrate, or will Aue continue their march away from the drop zone?
It's a really, really tough game to pick a winner from. Really, like, it took me a long time to choose one here, but I will go with Regensburg. I think with Agadui, Adamia, and Grüttner, they are 3 people who are happy to score. And I think they just seem like, after that defeat against St. Pauli, they want to change it to the, like, for their fans as well. I think there were plenty of fans traveling to Hamburg on the weekend, and to give them something back. And that's why I go with Regensburg. I think they're mentally a bit in advantage.
Yeah, I tend to agree a little bit. I think they had great fan presence in Hamburg for the St. Pauli game, but they've been a bit iffy at home. Very hard to predict what kind of Regensburg we're going to see and get. But that being said, of course, Aue are quite similar. We don't know what kind of offensive display we're going to see from them. Defensively, they can be a bit fragile. So I'm going to sit on the fence here and pick a draw. I think it just has draw written all over it. Of course, Jan, you know, want to finish the season off on a high, finishing the top half of the standings, which would be another fantastic result for them as a club. Aue, of course, wanting to avoid the drop zone. Possible if they can pick up points here. So I think it'll be all squared, all told. The last game to preview for match day 32 is in Heidenheim. They take on Sandhausen, a Baden-Württemberg derby, as it will. This is the 24th meeting between the two sides. When they last met, Heidenheim were 2-1 winners.
really stranglehold in the historical record for Heidenheim. They've won 13 of the previous 23 meetings between the two sides. Winners of four of the last five, and you have to go all the way back to 2009 for the last win for Sandhausen, and even further to 2006 when Sandhausen won in Heidenheim. That was in the Oberliga. So it tells you the how far these two teams have come. History says Heidenheim should win. Do you agree, or do you think Sandhausen, with their excellent recent form, can overturn this?
Tricky question once again, but I would agree with the latter. I think Sandhausen can get points out of it, crucial points for them. If they win it, I think they stay in the league, just as a symbol, like not mathematically yet, I'd say, but just mental. Yeah, but it's going to be tough for both sides. I don't know if Schnatterer is back. If not, it's another point that would suggest a Sandhausen win, and maybe we will be surprised and they actually do win.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Heidenheim to win the game. Even though Schnatterer, of course, is the top scorer in this fixture with four goals, they have other options. They'll be hoping Nikola Dovedan will be available, so he'll be a more than viable replacement. A response will be wanted and required by Frank Schmidt. Of course, they will be ordinary against a high-quality opponent in Paderborn. So, yeah, I think they'll bounce back. I think Sandhausen have had a really good run of it. Of course, if they were to win, mathematically, they would avoid going down directly, assuming Ingolstadt don't win. And if Magdeburg were to fail to win and Sandhausen were to win, then they would be almost out of trouble altogether. Heidenheim to win. It'll be a good game. I think Sandhausen will produce a good showing. It's derby. Anything can happen, but it's hard to really go past the historical nature of this fixture and how it's panned out. And it just all directions for me point to Heidenheim. We'll now jump to our topic question, as we only have the one this week, and still Penguin delivering the goods as per usual. His question is for us. He says, hello, everybody. What can Hartsfeld do differently to play better? This should be an intense last few match days of the season. You can find him at StillPenguin3 on Twitter. It sounds so simple that they should do a lot better. Defensively, they have been pretty ordinary. They have a lot of meaningless possession. They are very they're not very dangerous going into the final third. Their tactics are atrocious in that area. They've tried to, I think Hannes Wolf at times is trying to be way too cute, playing false nines with Özcan. He has two recognized strikers in Vintseimer and Lasoga. He dropped Vintseimer for the game on the weekend. Lasoga was coming back. Yeah, there's a lot of things they could do. Simplify the game, but I'm not entirely sure that this Hamburg team is really built to score a lot of goals like Kölner, and it's shown. And now they're in a situation where their defence is starting to crumble and teams are starting to score goals on them with regularity. They can't keep clean sheets. So there's quite a lot that they could do better. Eva, I don't know how you see it, but there's a lot that needs to be improved.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you here. I don't think that we're going to see a lot of change until the end of the season. Whether they play Bundesliga next season or they stay in Zweite Bundesliga, they definitely need to change something deeply. If it's the coach itself, if it's part of the team, it's going to be questionable who they can keep, who they can't. But I think at the moment they need to get calmness into the team. That is deeply needed. And I think with Marcel Janssen, they have someone who wants it, who really wants to structure the club that it's not the love of a nation. And I think they're already on a good way, but maybe this season was too early to get promoted.
Yeah, it almost seems like the squad was constructed in a way for a short-term fix. Like Hanover might be the best example. It doesn't matter how the team looks, just as long as we get back up. Put it this way, if they don't go up, the debrief is going to be very interesting. The potential yard sale of players, I'd expect there'll be a bit of a queue of players wanting to leave. So, tough times ahead if they don't go up. There will be, heads will roll, and change will be very much swift and quickly. That's all the time we have for this week's edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. We thank you for your company. We hope you enjoy the weekend's action of Zweite Bundesliga football. And until next time, goodbye.